Now, as we get into the message, I've been thinking this week that some things don't really matter. Some things just don't make an impact, don't have any influence, they're no challenge. Some things just don't matter. For instance, when I saw my son-in-law, Chris, put peanut butter on his waffles. Now, I had never seen that before, and I thought, well, that's different. And then I thought, well, it doesn't really matter. If he wants to do that, that's okay. And then another time I saw somebody putting ketchup on eggs. And that was strange to me, but it doesn't really matter, does it? If they want to do that, that's wonderful. But there is one thing that is important, vitally important, that makes all the difference. And that is, of course, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That changes everything. If that did not occur, there is no hope. None at all. There is no future but doom. There is no purpose in life. There is no justice. There is nothing eternal. It makes the difference. Now, in the passage which we read together this morning in 1 Corinthians, if you please turn there, we'll continue reading beginning at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, where we have the New Testament commentary on the event of the resurrection. This is such a wonderful thing, the way the Holy Spirit has laid out the Bible, giving us certain events and then giving us New Testament explanations. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul has done in this chapter. If you really want to understand resurrection, go home today and read this entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Now I'll begin reading at verse 14. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. How many of you think preaching is empty? No? All right, we'll go on then. Our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. And we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Now, Paul speaks about what we were saying here. It makes a difference. If he's not risen, our faith is useless. There's nothing about life that's important if Christ is not risen from the dead. And so he is. So let's look at this morning by considering, first of all, the event, what really took place. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, please. Matthew 28, 1. Here is the event. This is what occurred. Matthew 28, 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now there we have the record of the event. We are celebrating an event, something that happened historically at a certain place at a certain time in history. Now, as we consider this as a literal event, the four Gospels give us the record of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn to the book of Acts, the main subject, what Peter preached and Philip and the other evangelists preached, was the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have this discourse. We have the personal testimony of Jesus, who said, "I was dead and I'm now alive forevermore." And we have factual details. Here's a time, Sunday morning, beginning to dawn. Here's a place outside of Jerusalem. Here's a stone that was rolled over the tomb. Here is the grave itself. Here is the women. Here are the disciples. Here are the appearances of 40 days where Jesus appeared to certain women, to Mary Magdalene, to Peter, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to 10 apostles, and then to Peter, and then to Paul himself. And we just have many, many things about this event. No one rejects believing the resurrection for lack of evidence. The evidence is overwhelming. Well, then why do people reject it? On moral reasons. They do not want him and his authority. So they reject. So here we have this event that is before us. Having considered the event, let's look at the explanation. Why? What is it about? Now, first of all, then, the resurrection of Christ authenticates God's sovereignty. We are told that he is risen from the dead by the power of God. It's the omnipotence of God conquering death, raising Christ from the dead. Secondly, it establishes the certainty of ultimate judgment. While people may think they are rejecting him, someday all will face him because he is the judge. God the Father has given all judgment over to Christ. So if we reject him now, we stand before him at death as our judge. A third thing about the resurrection, it is the verification of God's word. Is the Bible true? Is Christ honest and truthful? Can he pull off what he says is going to happen? Can it be true? On three occasions, Jesus said to them, I'm going to Jerusalem and die. On the third day, I will rise again. Can it happen? Well, it happened, and this is why the angel said to them, He is not here. He is risen as he said. Here it is. Yes, he's believable. It's true. God's word is true. We can believe the Bible as the truth of God's word. So the resurrection authenticates God's sovereignty, establishes the certainty of judgment, and verifies God's word. Now, in the fourth place, it's a verification of Christ's deity. Who is he? He is said to be God risen from the dead. He is deity. He is God. Death could not hold him. Who is this Jesus? Born in Jerusalem, raised in Nazareth, preached in Galilee and Judea. Who is he? He is God. And the resurrection verifies that. Now, a very, very, very important thing about the resurrection also is that it proves or reveals or verifies the adequacy of the atonement. Did the sacrifice of Christ satisfy the justice of God to forgive human sin? Does it? The only way that can be known is if he is risen from the dead. If he does not rise from the dead, he is simply a human martyr. And nothing is changed and nothing is affected unless he rises from the dead. And his resurrection verifies the adequacy of his atonement, and we can be here this morning with full assurance that the death of Christ on the cross takes away our sin. Past, present, future. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. How do we know that? Because the resurrection of the dead verifies the adequacy of his atonement. When he dies in the temple, the veil between the Holy of Holies and the holy place is torn asunder. Taken away. That veil separated the holiness of God from a sinful people. Now that veil is gone, and we do not come through a Jewish sacrifice, but through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way is open. And there was a great earthquake. And his atonement is proven because Christ is exalted. God the Father, fully, completely, absolutely, is totally satisfied with the death of his Son for the forgiveness of sin. The question is, are you? Am I? These people are not. They're still trying to do something about it. They want to atone for their own sin, and they can never do it. Even if they die, it doesn't take away sin. If you die for me, you don't help me, because you're already a sinner. If I die for you, I don't help you, because I'm already a sinner. It takes a sinless person to offer himself in sacrifice to God for our sin to be taken away. That's what we have. So in the explanation of the resurrection, we could go on and on the rest of our life considering the glory of the resurrection. Now, another thing that it does for us is that it establishes power for Christian living. Because the risen Christ comes to live with the believer. When the Holy Spirit causes us to believe and we accept Christ as our Savior, He indwells us. And He is the power for Christian living. And I remember thinking in the days before I was a Christian that my mother was a Christian, my brother and sister, and I knew people went to church. I didn't go to church. And I thought that was okay for them. But I could never live like them. I just couldn't live like Christians live. I couldn't do it. And then after God saved me, I discovered that He does it for you. He lives for you. He does it for you. And you don't wait and say, I can't do it. You say, Lord, do it for me. And I trust you for that. He is the power for Christian living. This is the basis for all security. There is no other point of security on this earth or in all of history for any security. I hope that you are not counting on politicians for the outcome of your life, or any Congress or any parliament or any government or any military power or political party. Your life is in vain if that is true. There's no security apart from what God is going to do with us now and in the future based on the resurrection of Christ, because He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is ruling now from heaven, and He's coming again to rule in power and glory. That's the base for our security. And if that weren't true this morning, I tell you, I'd be shaking and trembling with fear. Because I believe that the United States of America is in the most perilous condition we ever had in all our history. We are at the mercy of global power. Our military is now being controlled by foreign leadership. We have an administration that is pushing for global government, where we lose our sovereignty, along with all the immorality and dishonesty that's taking place. And if you want to see another shocking thing this morning, you read the newspaper and see how China investment in the Clinton presidency is a reality. We are in very, very perilous condition. Our security is glorious in Christ, no other place. Now, we have looked at the event and certain of the explanations. Let's look at the experience. Now, you're picking up this outline, folks. It just flows very easily. Three E's: the event, the explanation, the experience. And how do you experience all this? You can know about the event, you can know the explanation, but how does it get to me? Well, let's take the words of the angel himself. He said to these people in verse 6, He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell. Now, if the Holy Spirit is ready to save you and regenerate you, you will experience a tug in your heart to come and see. You'll say, I want to know this risen Christ, and I'm going to look at this resurrection carefully. Come to the tomb. You'll see it's empty. And this seeing is not just physical. It's with spiritual understanding. And you will understand who he is, that he is the risen Lord. Come and see. That's the call of God this morning. And he causes us to do that. And then as a believer, our life is this. Go and tell. That's our life. He has left you here this morning, so you can tell. Now, Kelly prayed about Ray and I. These old dead men were walking around here this morning. Excuse me, Ray, not you. Why are we here? Why are you here? Isn't there more to life than just the daily routine? You get up in the morning, you eat a great breakfast, and you might go to work or job or somewhere, and it's over. And what's this about? There has to be more to life than that. As a Christian, you are here with the privilege of witness. You are the ones chosen to tell this great thing, that Christ is the answer and that he is the Lord. That's a great thing. What a great and glorious Easter, and how meaningful it is when it becomes personal in our experience. And we say, he is my Savior. He is my Lord. I speak of him. He is my witness. So we have another Easter message to consider: the event and the explanation and the experience of it. May God himself make this passage live in our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your great and glorious predestinated plan, that at a moment in time, an exact day, an exact hour, that our crucified Savior would rise from the dead, come out of that grave, live here 40 years, and ascend into glory, and will be returning again. Thank you for this plan. Thank you that we get in on it personally, with personal faith in his death and resurrection. Do such a mighty work in our hearts this morning that not one of us could possibly walk out of this room without knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. Cause it, we pray. Go to heart to heart just now and call us to come and see. And cause us to go and tell. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be praised, for we pray in his name. Amen.